Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. I told you I was going to try to start the show with, you know, my favorite, you know, John Williams, you know, score.
Score.
Well, second to Harry Potter. Because he also did Harry Potter, so that will forever be, you know, my favorite John Williams piece. But welcome back, everyone.
Hi.
Today we're talking about Star Wars, Episode 5. The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars. Our fave.
Stars. And wars.
Wars up in the stars. Always wars. Always wars. Just makes me sad. Can't live in peace. Not even in space. All right. So, before we get into the details of the movie, let's do which movie is it?
Which movie is it?
All right. So you went first last time, so I can go first this time.
Okay.
Well, there's the usual things. Flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
It's such a good line, too. There's a girl in the castle.
There's a girl in the castle.
I might have got you on this one.
No, I got me on that one.
Yeah. It's Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, is that?
There must be something there that wasn't there before. So good.
That wasn't part of the song.
It was.
No. I don't believe it.
Well, not the tale as old as time one. Yeah.
You got
There's
me.
A girl in the castle. Yes. Okay. Your turn.
All right. All right. Go to the first one. Where was it? I lost it. Oh, you can't call a planet Bob.
Is it Spaceballs?
No.
I don't know. I always want to go to the Spaceballs. No, pass.
You positively glow with maternal warmth, Akima. It's very touching. I must have you.
Akima.
Mm-hmm. See, and that... Come on, come on.
Akima. And this is a Disney movie?
Now it is.
Okay. Akima. Is it Alien?
No.
Of course, there was nobody named Akima in Alien. But, I always draw blank with yours. Nope. Can I get one last one?
Once in a great while, mankind unlocks a secret so profound that our future is altered forever.
Gosh.
Had to do a deep one.
Gosh, that could be forever. That could be anything. That could be Treasure Planet?
That's a good guess.
I'm close. Is it Atlantis?
No.
Is it... You said now it is. So it wasn't before.
Ah.
It wasn't before. Is it... I give up.
Titan A.E.
Oh, see, and I should have known it was that one. Because we watched that one. Should have known. But my instinct was going to Treasure Planet, which was around the same time that one was kind of done. Because wasn't it, it was Matt Damon?
Mm-hmm. Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And Matt, other people, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Matt Damon has been known for doing a lot of great voice work, so shout out to Matt Damon. All right, so Star Wars, 1980, Episode 5, rated PG. I always forget that Star Wars is rated very, like, you know, for children, essentially. But directed by Irvin Kershner, written by Lee Brackett, Lawrence Kasdan, and George Lucas, stars Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Billy Dee Williams, and Harrison Ford. I got some trivia. Would you like to hear it?
Hit me.
All right. The shots where Luke uses his Jedi powers to retrieve his lightsaber from a distance were achieved by having Mark throw the lightsaber away and then running the film in reverse.
Oh.
Because back then, of course, we're talking like very minimal special effects here. Carrie Fisher stood on a box for many of her scenes with Harrison Ford because she is 5'1", or she was 5'1". Rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. She was 5'1", and Harrison Ford is 6 foot. So she had to stand on a box. When Han Solo is about to be frozen, Princess Leia says, "I love you." And in the original script, Han was supposed to say, "Just remember that, Leia, because I'll be back."
That sounds so cheesy.
It would have been worse.
Worse? What do you mean worse?
Well, I always think the "I know" kind of is cheesy in a way, too.
No, that's perfect.
I think it's kind of cheesy, too. But I do appreciate it. But one of the reasons that they chose it is because Harrison Ford wasn't sure that he was coming back for another movie. And even getting him to do The Force Awakens was also a surprise because he's just not... He hated his time on Star Wars, I think. Like, I've definitely read a lot of things about Harrison Ford just really didn't like his experience doing Star Wars. Not, like, working with the people. I think just the outcome. Like, it became... And Carrie Fisher said the same thing. That, like, their lives completely changed after Star Wars. And in retrospect, I mean, that can kind of suck. Because maybe before you were able to go to, like, the mall or wherever and just be a normal person. And then it really, really got crazy after that. So, but yeah, I think the line that they had chosen was best to keep it that way. And then the last one I got is the sound of Darth Vader's meditation chamber opening is a recording of a whole block of Alcatraz cell doors slamming shut.
We'll have to replay that.
It's very interesting. It's like, wow. All right, are we ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So we open up. This is after the, you know, destruction of the Death Star. The rebels have been forced to evacuate their base on the Yavin Moon. And the Imperial fleet, of course, you know, of the Galactic Empire has been pursuing them ever since, forcing them to establish a secret base on the ice planet Hoth. The Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth Vader, sends robotic probes in search for Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. It's all his fault. It's all his fault.
I mean,
really.
He's got
this relentless, he has to find him. He doesn't really know why yet at first, I don't think.
You think it's just the Force pulling them together?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. They're just pulled to each other, you know. Just
not really
like,
pulled to. I think he's just pulled to. But he doesn't know yet. He doesn't know why yet. He just knows he has to fight him.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. But I do like the idea of like Luke and Leia finding each other due to the Force. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool. Twin power, you know, kind of thing. Which, oh, by the way, if you haven't watched Star Wars yet, you might want to not listen to the episode because there are spoilers. We are not a spoiler-free podcast. I don't think we've ever said that verbally, but it is. All right, so while Luke is patrolling, he sees what looks like a meteor hitting the ground near his location. He reports to Han Solo that he plans to investigate, and then he's knocked unconscious by a wampa.
By a wampa.
And they look...
ugly.
Well, most of the creatures in Star Wars aren't necessarily the prettiest, but yeah, he's very scary looking. He looks like a Yeti creature. Like a big old scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, back at the base, Han Solo announces his intention to leave the rebels and pay debt to his Jabba the Hutt debt, whatever he's got going on with him. Princess Leia asks him to stay, but Han kind of wants her to confirm her feelings for him, and she doesn't do it.
Not yet.
Even though both of them feel this way about each other. But why is the pressure on her to say it? That's my question.
Because it's 1980.
Yeah, we're not as woke as we are now, I guess. I mean, some people are still just, you know, hard-headed about love and emotions. But yeah, I really don't think that the pressure should be on just one person. I think it should definitely be on, hey, if you feel it, why not say it? If you love them, because you never know, especially if I am in space, I'm on other planets, I may not live to see another day. Why not just say it?
I would just say it.
All right, so Han goes searching for Luke. Everyone seems to be riding these tauntaun things on the planet, and they look like, how would you describe them? Like ostrich-looking dinosaurs? They look like a mixture of an ostrich and a dinosaur because of the arms.
They got fur and stuff.
They got fur, yeah.
But, they're just winterized kangaroos.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But he goes on his own, you know, tauntaun. He tries to go find Luke. Luke escapes the Wampa's lair using the Force to get his lightsaber back. And then he cuts up the beast. And he also gets an apparition of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi shows back up and tells him that he has to find Yoda.
On planet Dagobah.
Dagobah.
Ben? You will go to the Dagobah system. Dagobah system. There you will learn from Yoda, the Jedi Master who instructed me. Ben!
Han finds Luke and gives him shelter, and he is so cold that he has to cut up his tauntaun that he used to get there, and he puts him in there until he can kind of provide their shelter for the night.
Yeah.
Kind of sad. But, yeah.
And I mean, it was dead anyway.
Yeah, that's true. And he does mention that, you know, they smell even worse on the inside. But, yeah, so they end up being all right. Luke is taken to the medical bay to heal, which I always thought was so interesting that they heal, like, almost like underwater. They heal in these little tubes. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get there.
Stasis tube.
Mm-hmm. That's how they heal. An Imperial probe comes by and transmits their location. Han hits the droid with a low-energy blast, but it activates a self-destruct and explodes. And on the bridge, Darth Vader's massive flagship, he orders the Imperial fleet to the Rebel base. So they essentially kind of give themselves away without, you know, not giving themselves away.
Well, his admiral doesn't. He just thinks it's just some... whatchamacallit?
Oh, yeah. Can we just mention that Darth Vader is, like, literally the smartest person, like, on that ship? Like, everybody else is just dumb. Like, they should have just had droids instead of people.
They thought it was just, like, colonists. And so when they came in, man, they came in hot, but they were prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Vader, then... They send all this stuff out there. They launch a surface attack with the AT-ATs walkers, which I always remembered it as AT&T.
AT&T.
Like, that's how I remember it. So Luke helps his squadron of flying speeders get into, you know, battle with this attack. He uses the towing cables to kind of bind their legs so that way they fall over. Yep. But of course, I mean... It's kind of all for naught in a way, though, because he's still losing some people.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a battle.
So that's just one of those things. But anyway.
A lot of people die, but most of them escape.
Yeah. So they all kind of end up evacuating. Han, Princess Leia, Chewbacca, and C-3PO make it out with the Millennium Falcon. Luke makes it back in time to get one of the X-Wing fighters with R2-D2 on it. Mm-hmm. You did mention that. Was this his... X-Wing fighter?
I don't think that's his X-Wing fighter. I think he went AWOL and he stole Rebel property.
Well, technically, I mean, is it Rebel property if he's a Rebel and it's his property? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it was his property.
Do you think they sign, like, compensation forms for these things? They sign expense forms?
I think they're a militarized...
Is there an accounting office
for these? They are militarized... He was part of the Rebel military, but it all worked out in the end.
I mean, yeah, it worked out. Yeah, so in space, Han discovers that their hyperdrive is damaged, and they decide to go into an asteroid field because they're still being chased by Darth Vader.
Yeah, and so Darth Vader thinks that, like, Luke Skywalker's on the Millennium Falcon, so that's why, you know, he pursues them into the
Into the asteroid field.
Into the asteroid field.
And then they go inside a crater to hide and make repairs. Luke crashes on Dagobah, and he is surprised by a little green creature that you don't know yet, you know, who it is. But he starts off by, like, looking through his things and, like, eating his food at one point, which I just thought was so funny. Because he's like, hey, that's my dinner.
Which, I mean, if you think about it.
Sharing is caring.
Luke should have been better. He should have been better at it. But, I mean, if you notice, he's kind of like his dad, like, in the episodes one.
Very two, entitled.
Very entitled, so. Mm-hmm. But he learns. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Yoda ends up telling him that, you know, oh, I can take you to where you need to go. And then Yoda ends up talking to Obi-Wan's spirit as well and kind of tells him that, you know, I don't think that he's ready for this. He's too much like his father. He has too much anger. He, you know, he's too susceptible to the dark side. Do you agree?
No, I don't think so.
I actually don't think so either.
Because if you think about it...
He right, was raised by different people. He was...
Well, it wasn't really that he was raised by other people. It was just a lot of your I Jedis... I think his
personality is different.
A lot of your Jedis started training when they were kids. You know?
That's true.
This dude... You know,
oh, Luke's yeah, he did mention... He mentioned that he was too old.
Yeah. Luke's supposed to be, you know, at least a young adult by this time, so... You know, and you, but you also got to think...
More mature,
it's
maybe?
Like, Yoda, look, you're awesome.
But he's also been alone for a really long time.
But, you know, how many Jedis are there in this world right now? So maybe you need to make some compromises, which he does. He does.
Which I do think is a good point, you know. When you are dwindling in numbers, you have to accept, you know, certain circumstances and say, hey, it's okay for him to be taught. Though I do understand his thing about anger. Like, yes, he was really prone to anger very easily. But, yep, so Luke tells Yoda that he's not afraid. And Yoda says, you will be.
You will be.
Yoda says, you will be. Which I really do like that line. Inside the asteroid, Han and Leia argue and then kiss. Which is so frustrating for me as a viewer. Because I'm just like, how do we equate anger and arguing to kissing? That just shows a bad message right there. I don't like it. But you also knew it was coming, so... It's all right. I mean, obviously, they're not, like, throwing blows at each other. That's when it gets really crazy. Like, if you're in a relationship where all you do is argue, maybe you should rethink that relationship. But so then they're interrupted by C-3PO, which he's always, ooh, like, that's the C-3PO. Worst. He always interrupts.
But he's not as bad as Jar Jar.
That's true. So Han, Leia, and Chewbacca all go outside, and they notice that the ground is weird. They go back to the ship, fly off... and realized that they actually were not in a cave, but inside a space lug.
I mean, they were in a cave.
I mean, technically, a cave is just what? A dark interior
they were in some kind of tunnel.
With an opening, which it did. It did have an opening. But you mentioned one thing, though, if we go back a little bit, about the fact that when they leave the ship, they have these like little breathing masks. That only cover their nose and mouth.
It only covers their nose and mouth. Look, just because they're deep inside a cave.
Quote, unquote.
Quote, unquote. Doesn't mean that they're still not in deep space. So.
That's right. They are still in deep space.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that worm didn't have an atmosphere.
Right.
And oxygen.
And it probably didn't need an oxygen. Like, it can breathe in space, so.
Yeah, so. So, hey, you know what? Cool on you for remembering that they won't be able to breathe, but, you know, they would not have survived without some type of pressurized suit.
Right.
But, hey, it's still a cool, awesome scene where they're flying out of the thing, and it's like, that's no cave.
So Darth Vader then has a conversation. I always like to say it's a conference call. Darth Vader has a conference call with the Galactic Emperor Palpatine. About Luke Skywalker and how he's the son of Anakin Skywalker and how Vader believes that he can try to tempt him to join the dark side and that he pretty much says like he'll either join or die.
He'll learn. So that's what I'm saying. He's relentlessly pursuing Luke. He don't know why, right? He's like, I know this is my kid. I know it. But he don't know why. He's trying to hunt this kid down. He's like, well, he will turn him to the dark side, or I'll kill him, whatever. Whatever, Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Then we also see that he sends out bounty hunters towards the Millennium Falcon, and one of them being Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Which we don't necessarily get his name at this point in time yet, but it comes a little bit later. Han flies the Falcon directly over the bridge of the Star Destroyer. He decides to go to the planet Bespin. Is that right? Bespin? Bespin?
I'm drawing a blank now. No, I don't remember.
Planet Bespin?
Yeah. But, you know, Cloud City.
Cloud City.
Yeah.
It's on the planet Bespin or whatever.
It's a gas planet.
Fellow nerds out there, please don't drag me. Just... details escape me. But yeah, they go to the planet to meet up with his old friend, quote unquote friend. Lando Calrissian. But the bounty hunter Boba Fett is following them, and they're not aware of this yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Mm-hmm. Luke continues his lessons, doing acrobatic flips and dips, and they come up to an old tree on top of a cave. Yoda tells Luke to explore the cave that has powerful, dark vibes, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke has a vision of Darth Vader. He fights him, cuts off his head, and realizes that it is himself.
Mm. But what does it mean?
I take it as, like, he's trying to fight the darkness within. That's how I took it.
Mm-hmm. No, he was trying to tell him. It's like, if you kill him, you're killing a part of yourself.
Or maybe that this particular rage is not the way.
Uh-huh. That if you do it, it's going to end up being you under that mask.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I agree. But, you know, it's a lesson. It's a lesson. He then gets a vision, though, of Han and Leia in pain, you know, being tortured and in pain. And he leaves Yoda promising to come back. Even though Yoda says, you know, no, it's just, you know... You have to stay. You have to learn. Mm-hmm. But he promises, yeah. I'll come back.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, if it wasn't for the fact... Well, actually, you know what? Maybe we'll come back to this, because just in case, we'll come back to my thought on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get it right now.
No, because it's a reveal.
Okay. Han and Leia arrive at Cloud City. They meet Lando. Lando is very, very enthralled by Leia, and I love this. I love how he's just kissing her hand and trying to, you know, like, show her, like, the city. You know, it's like, oh, well, you definitely belong here, madam, princess.
Cloud City.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Han gets jealous. It's super cute. But, yeah, C-3PO ends up getting blasted when they go inside, and no one else sees this happen. Han, Leia, and Chewbacca are then captured by Darth Vader. I particularly think that this is sour of Lando, only because you promised me that there would be food, and there was Darth Vader. So not only do I end up getting tortured, but I didn't even get a chance to eat. Shame.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I had no choice. They arrived right before you did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too.
It's not right. He said they were going to have dinner. And it was all a lie.
I'm hungry.
It's not right. But yeah, so, and that was a real, like, show up. When I think about when I first saw it, I was like, holy crap.
That was a really cool scene.
It was.
He pulls out his blaster, yes. And he starts blasting, and Darth Vader just being a badass. It's like, ah.
But it is a shock, especially when you first see this movie. Like, think back to when you first saw it. Did you honestly think that you would see Darth Vader on the other side?
Nope.
No.
It was very shocking. It was like, oh!
Very shocking. But it's great. So, Lando does kind of feel a little bad, though.
Of course he does.
He does feel bad.
I really do think they're friends, but I mean, he was...
I do think he was trying to protect the city. I guess
he was the governor.
Of that city, yeah. Like, he was in charge. He was the head honcho.
He was the head honcho.
So he did feel bad. Like, I have to make sure that my people are safe, so I'm going to, you know, trade you over for their safety. So I appreciate that. Darth Vader then orders a carbon freezing chamber for Luke, and it is tested on Han.
Mm-hmm.
Right after, Leia declares her love for him.
I love you. I know. That's so cool.
I think it was just to show the fact that
tell me you love me.
I love you.
I know.
I mean, you're lucky that I really do. Otherwise, it'd be like, ugh. You're lucky. I really do love you. But, yes. So, Han. Mm-hmm. Han gets frozen. And it's actually very creepy looking. It's like, wah. It's pretty scary. He's frozen, and then he's handed over to Boba Fett. Like, what's that about? Why does Boba Fett want him so bad?
So we can turn him in for his bounty.
Well, I mean, that's true. But it just, it's not right. It just seems like, oh, well, here. Luke lands at the Cloud City and meets Darth Vader. Lando helps the others get free. Meanwhile, of course, Leia tries to yell at Luke, saying, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. But, yeah, he doesn't get a chance to actually hear her. Luke and Darth Vader fight, and Vader slashes off Luke's right hand, mm-hmm. and Luke loses his lightsaber in the huge shaft.
Yep.
Vader tries talking to him about his father, and Luke says, you know, like, I heard enough about what happened, you know, I know that you killed
my father.
You killed my father. And Vader says, no, I am your father.
I am your father. What? That was huge.
It's a very big shock. Yeah. Like, what?
There is no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Luke. You do not yet realize your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
No. No. It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
This movie was made before I was born. I didn't watch it in the theaters. I mean, I watched it in the theaters, but it was when I was like 35.
It's what soap operas wish they were.
Uh-huh.
It's what soap operas today wish they could try to replicate.
I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that
at all. It's like, no, I am your father.
But I think that's why, you know, because here you have Luke. He's had, hey, you know what? Yoda's one of the greatest Jedi ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of training with Yoda.
Nope.
And so
maybe a week.
I think that's the only reason why Darth Vader didn't wreck him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he didn't want to kill his son.
He felt bad.
He didn't want to kill his son.
I think if you go back to like episode 3 and, you know, we hear Padme say, they're still good in him.
That's no good.
I think that's probably the part she was talking about.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason why he just didn't get destroyed.
Because that is my child.
Darth Vader is a badass.
And he still likes to think that, you know, maybe if things were different, I could have been a daddy.
Yeah. If his name was like Luke Smith, he would have died in like the first 30 seconds.
Right. Which, thinking about it, why didn't they change his name if they wanted to protect him so bad?
Yeah. those are the small things we understand,
mm-hmm.
but we don't. We just go with it.
And maybe one day we will do an episode on, like, The Mandalorian or Obi-Wan Kenobi, the series, on this podcast. I would love to do that. Just like a quick, you know, best parts, worst parts. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he is completely in shock. Luke kind of goes into a little bit of a fit of like, no!
No!
It can't be!
No!
It's pretty cool. But, yeah, he's very, very upset. And Darth Vader tries to lure him to the, you know, dark side. Like, we can rule, you know, the space together, you and me. And Luke says, absolutely not. And he just drops and falls into the platform, just like off of the platform, just ooh. And then gets sucked into an air vent. And then he shoots out of the city, so to speak, the little tower where they were. And he's just hanging.
Mm-hmm.
He's hanging by a pipe.
He's hanging on the bottom of this floating city, and he tries to reach. You know, he reaches out to Leia.
Using the force. He did ask Ben for help, but he doesn't show up. Do you think there's a reason for that?
Yeah, because he just picks and chooses when he wants to pop in and be like, "Hey, I'm gonna help you out right now, but I'm not gonna help you here." That darn Ben.
Well, unless, like, you know, he was supposed to train for a certain amount of time and he didn't get a chance to train. So Ben was like, nah.
But mad, yes. I'm mad at you.
So Leia feels it and tells them in the Millennium Falcon to go back.
Yep. Go back.
And they help him. Lando is able to get, you know, everybody out of Cloud City. He kind of issues a warning, you know, like, get out.
Yeah.
We've been betrayed. But yeah, so they find Luke hanging there. They rescue him. They're still being chased by Darth Vader's ship. R2 fixes the hyperdrive, because of course R2 fixes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they escape.
R2's the real hero.
Man, he is
the Samwise Gamgee.
He is the unsung hero. Yeah. And so they are able to escape in hyperspace. And we end with the Rebel fleet meeting up to figure things out. They find each other.
Yep.
Luke gets a new hand, which is cool.
Like his daddy.
Yeah. Well, no, his wasn't it his whole arm?
Well, yeah. His arm. Pretty much.
Yeah. Yes. But yes, he gets a new hand, and Lando and Chewbacca plan to locate Han, so they're looking at maps and things, and Luke and Leia watch the ship speed off toward the galaxy.
Da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we also didn't mention that Leia kisses Luke.
Oh, yeah.
At one point in the movie.
Yeah. What the heck is going on with this?
It was obviously to make Han jealous, but
some Game of Thrones stuff going on.
But knowing
here.
Knowing what we know now, it's gross.
It's 1980. Was George R. R. Martin? Was he a writer?
It was not cool. Not for me. Not for me. Well, that's it. That's the movie.
Yep.
How do we rate this?
Ooh, how do we rate this? Out of 5 Star Destroyers.
Out of 5 Star Destroyers.
Oh, me first?
You go first.
5 out of 5. That's actually my favorite one.
It's your favorite
that
one?
That is my favorite out of the whole saga.
This one's not my favorite one. But I do like it. So I'll give it a solid 4.7.
4.7.
Mm-hmm. 4.7, because you know my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Like my favorites tend to be the ones that kind of go a little bit outside of the typical like dialogue scheme, plot scheme. So anything that has like a father-daughter relationship usually ends up being like closer to my top favorite.
Father daughter.
Yes, it's very special to me. Plus Forrest Whitaker's in the movie and I love him. I love him. He's great. So good. He's been in like every single universe. He's been in the MCU, he's been in Star Wars. I bet you he's been on Star Trek in some capacity. But
yeah, maybe.
Yes. Oh, not to mention, once we get to Han Solo, we'll definitely talk about another favorite actor of mine, which is Warwick Davis, who's been in pretty much almost any Star Wars production ever. But yeah, it's a solid movie. It's great. Who was the best?
Who was the best? That's a good question.
Leia was the best.
Think she was the best?
Yes. She's smart. She's cunning. She tries to help everybody, you know. Yeah. She does everything for the greater good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's one of the big leaders of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm. She's the real deal.
Darth Vader.
Really?
He's just so cool. He's badass.
Yeah. As far as villains go, yeah. He's one of the best. Yeah. Who was the worst?
The worst? All of Darth Vader's admirals that he kept killing. Yeah, I was
going to say, like, General Veers or whomever. Like, the worst. Yeah. You can't even be a good villain. Just, shame on you. Just put in your, you know, 2 weeks' notice.
Nope. Put in your death sentence because you're just going to die.
Okay.
He's going to choke you out.
Well, another episode done. We'll catch you next time, listeners.
We'll see. Wait, what are we doing next?
Oh, what are we doing next?
You weren't even thinking about it.
No, I wasn't. I did have, like, my own little, like, mini cue on my phone. That kind of... we are going to do Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Mm-hmm, because it is officially part of the Disney package. Since Disney is clear and intently trying to take over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. They are the empire.
All right, so catch us next time.
We'll see you.